from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right.
We're here.
We're here.
We're here.
Happy Thursday. Best day of the week, by the way. Happy best day of the week to everybody.
All right.
I know you don't agree. No, you don't. I've explained my rationale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not something you've thought about. That's fine. I think it's the best day of the week. And we got to talk about Devin Carter, who the Kings selected number 13 overall in the NBA draft last night. I've got to tell you, I said no matter who they took, it would take me a couple days, but I would talk myself into them. It didn't even take me a couple days. I'm in.
I wasn't even necessarily out when it happened. It's just I have questions.
So here's, I think there's two separate conversations that need to happen here. And welcome in, everybody, to ESPN 1320. Appreciate you if you're listening on the radio or the free Odyssey app. And, of course, salute to everybody hanging out in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and at twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you are watching, please hit the like button, a little thumbs up, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We got a ton of content coming out for you. There's two separate conversations that need to happen here.
And what are those?
And I think they got tied together because we talked so much about the Kings trading last night's pick. Last night's pick was going to be the thing that catalyzed this big trade that the Kings are going to make.
Yeah, there was a lot of smoke around that, too. The pick got closer.
Right, yeah. You had Jason Anderson from the Sacramento Bee saying the Kings were deep in talks about Cam Johnson and Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
I believe. And they may still be in those talks. Mm-hmm. And Monty McNair even said, and we'll hear from Monty McNair later. We have some sound from him. And we have some sound from Devin Carter. And at 10:30... we will have Devin Carter's college coach, Kim English, joining the program. So, I think there's the Devin Carter selection just in a vacuum, as a Devin Carter the player. But then I also think there's a roster building conversation that needs to happen.
So we do have 6 guards now.
It's a lot of guards.
Yes.
And that is that roster building part of the discussion is one where I think a lot of people were disappointed last night. I posted a video on Twitter. The reaction, the loudest pop that Tom's Watch Bar got last night, and again, salute to everybody who came out. We appreciate you immensely for doing that. The loudest pop of the night, when was it to you?
Like, as far as like good or bad?
Good.
Maybe when Dame first took the mic or whatever and got everyone hyped.
That one for sure. When Zach Edey got picked.
Yeah.
When Zach Edey got taken 9. No. Dude, Kenny, I now know what Kenny would look like if the Kings ever won a title.
Oh, yeah. That was...
he was fired up.
That got a definite reaction.
Right. But I posted the video and there was a lot of like disappointment when the Kings took Devin Carter. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's because of Devin Carter specifically. One, because I bet between everybody there combined last night that there was maybe one full game of Providence basketball watched all year.
I don't know. Give them credit. Maybe we're all tapped into Providence Friars out here.
Are you a Providence guy?
Allegedly.
No, but their fan base, by the way, is nuts on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
It was probably yesterday.
I love it. I'm all in. Big Friars guy now. huge Providence men's basketball fan here.
Maybe a Friars and Light the Beam collab or something we got going on?
Maybe. But I just don't think that anybody... We didn't talk that much about guards. Every player we really discussed was like Zach Edey.
Well, there was a lot of tweets out there yesterday. It's like, all right, if you're going to make the pick, anyone but a guard.
Yes.
Because of what the situation was on the roster right
yes.
now.
Yes. After OKC picked 12th, that was the consensus. Hey, just don't take a guard. But look, if you're going to take a guard, and this is where the Devin Carter portion of the conversation comes in, I think Devin Carter is going to be, or might already be, better than Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Like, I'm not this big, college hoops or whatever. I'm on the film and all that. But, like, watching his game, like, you can see where he can help and all that, I think.
Yes. You see, go watch whether it's, like, an extended clip or a game. He's just constantly in the right spot. He can play above the rim. He plays much bigger than 6'2". He is a tenacious defender. He averaged over his last 2 years at Providence 1.8 steals a game and a block a game in each of the last 2 years. He can shoot it, or at least he showed that this year. He showed off some real range, shooting it from beyond the arc. Shot 37.7% from three. He's a tenacious defender. He's a playmaker with the ball in his hands. And I think he's going to be the type of player who, yes, he's listed at 6'2", but he has a 6'8 wingspan. I think you're going to be able to have him defend in the same kind of spots where... How many times last year did we see Davion Mitchell defend a player? We're like, man, he's just not quite tall enough. The game winner that Klay Thompson hit over him.
Yeah, it was just a matter of Davion was a couple inches taller.
Right. And, look, Devin Carter's a couple inches taller than Davion. And he has a huge wingspan. And I think he's going to be able to do more offensively. So, I think there is a very easy way to see Devin Carter plugging and playing this year and playing minutes this year where I think his role will change. But I think in year one, if you need him to go be, and I know this isn't a popular thing, but follow me, go look at what Gary Payton II does for the Warriors. Uh-huh. And again, I think Devin Carter is going to be a better player than Gary Payton II. I don't think he's going to be a journeyman until he's 29. But it's that this year, hustle plays, getting to 50-50 balls, getting extra rebounds, grabbing extra possessions, being able to knock down a three, being able to just come in and, hey, you know what? De'Aaron Fox is in some foul trouble. Can you go defend Donovan Mitchell for a little bit?
Well, how many
I think he'll be capable of that.
Yeah, how many times did Gary Payton II come up big, maybe in that Warriors championship run and all that?
A lot.
Yeah, it's like guys like that matter.
Right, and it might only be 6 points, but it was, you know what, a huge transition dunk that electrified the crowd and an offensive rebound and a putback and, let's say, 7 points, and then knocked down a big corner three.
Yeah.
Like just those little things that I think he's going to help now. Mm. And now this is where the conversation transitions.
Yes, the part where Jesse's a little confused.
Yes, where you and me, and I think everybody else, is a little confused.
Yeah.
Because, hey, this can't be it. And that's not a Devin Carter thing.
Mm-mm.
This is not a, man, Devin Carter is not going to be good enough to help. No, I think he can help, but not in the ways that this team really, really needs help. And that's where this becomes a head-scratcher. Because we knew all of last year and all of this offseason, size, athleticism, length, defensive prowess, shot creation. Well, I think you get defense and shot creation a little bit with Devin Carter for sure.
Yeah.
But, hey, is he going to help you defend Herb Jones? Is he going to help you defend Trey Murphy?
Well, is he going to help create a shot when maybe Monk isn't feeling it that day or something like that?
Right. If Malik Monk goes down, are you confident having him in the sixth man role right away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the questions the Kings still have to answer. And so that's why, okay, I'm a proponent. I know this is a hot take. If you're not an analytics person, try and follow me. Having good players is better than not having good players.
It's a pretty solid formula.
I'll go on that limb. I'll die on that hill.
You're living life on the edge this week, huh?
Brought the flamethrower. No, but having, I know that sounds trivial and stupid.
Yeah.
But I think we get tied up too much in the potential and ceiling and this and that. And it's like, hey, sometimes it's just better to have good players.
Go back to like 3-2 years, however long it was. At one point, we had two really solid point guards here in Sacramento, Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe didn't have both the best fit or whatever. You move one for DeMontis Sabonis and it works out. So yeah, like, get the good guys in here first and we'll figure it out after.
I just believe that to maximize what the Kings are doing this year and to maximize what Devin Carter can contribute this year, there has to be another move.
Yeah, that's
there has to be more to this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like it has to. It can't just be like, oh, like we tried and we're just gonna stick with what we got. Like the guards are here and like we like Devin and all that. No, like, you have to fix this roster. Like you just balance it out more.
Your guard rotation right now, it's De'Aaron Fox. And are we starting Keon Ellis?
I think.
With the current roster, by the way. This is with no additional moves.
Yeah.
Okay, you're starting Keon. Malik Monk is your sixth man. Davion gets some minutes.
That's the thing. Like
Kevin Huerter getting minutes.
That's the thing.
Are you playing Kevin Huerter at the three
like,
now?
I feel like if Kevin Herter's here, like, Kevin, you can still shoot the three ball. Like, get out there. Like, I get he doesn't play defense and all that. But Kevin Huerter can still have impact. So I feel like you have to give him some minutes. I don't think you just bury Kevin Huerter on the bench if he's here.
Right. So now, okay, so Davion Mitchell, who is a tradable asset, is now just going to be on your bench and not playing?
Davion was playing well when Monk went down last year, too. Kind of carried 1,000%.
He was really, really good down the stretch. So this is why I think there's, I'm going to call it trepidation from Kings fans. Because look, I don't think there's an argument to be made. This isn't like when the Niners took Ricky Pearsall. It was like, okay, I see the vision. If you're losing one of Ayuk or Samuel next year, you want to have somebody else to step up. But like, yo, he was projected to go like mid-second round. Mm-hmm. It's felt like a reach. Devin Carter is not a reach at 13.
No, if anything, you might have got a steal.
You look, so I went and looked today. And again, this is not, the scouting process in any sport is not an exact science. But this is what we have to go off of.
Yeah, yeah.
ESPN had him 12th on their big board and had him going number 11 to Chicago in their mock draft. The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, had him at number 5 on his big board and had him going 10th to Utah in his mock draft. NBADraft.net, really good resource, had him 13th on their big board and going number 11 to Chicago. And the consensus big board had him at number 10. So this was not a reach of some kind. I'm also not going to say like, wow, they got the steal of the draft. I don't think it's that. They just picked a player in that range who I think can help them this year. But I think the trepidation comes from A, there was so much talk about height and length and athleticism on the wings that taking a guard feels underwhelming. So that to me is where I'm standing on this. I like the Devin Carter pick very much. I think he's going to be a really good player for the Kings and a really good contributor, whether it's as a starter or on the bench over the next. I think he'll help now.
Yeah.
And then I think there's a chance that he develops into a really, really good player over the next couple of years. I love the pick. On that same hand, if this is the roster now, I have very, very serious questions about the Kings.
Yeah, and there's the thing, too, where, yeah, you had 5 guards coming into it, but if Monty McNair has Devin Carter next up on his big board or whatever, he's like, this is the best player available.
Sure.
Like, I feel like even with all the guards and all that, you kind of just have to take him at that point. Because I think I am pro taking best player available, if that's who your guy is.
Yeah, and like, look, I know there were a lot of people, like, pounding the table for Dalton Connect.
I was one of those people.
Right. And he went 17 to the Lakers. So it's not like he went 14th, by the way. He continued sliding after the Kings. And for what? I don't know exactly what it was. I don't think we'll ever know. But he wasn't next up on Sacramento's board. And maybe they had Devin Carter third. I don't know. Just let's say he was the third player on their board. Of all the players, he was number 3. And then the top wing available was number 9. You're going to take the number 3 player.
Yeah.
Like, that's just it, especially since all we heard about this draft was, man, this is not a good draft and this and that. I don't think Dalton Connect is a slam dunk prospect. I don't think Jacoby Walter is a slam dunk prospect, or Keyshawn George or Dayron Holmes or whoever else. Like, I get why people liked their fit, and I would have been fine with any of those guys at 13. But I don't think that it is a disaster that they had Devin Carter as the best player on their board and they went, hey, this guy is so good that we think he can help our guard rotation now and in the future. Whereas whoever the wing was, it's like, yeah, probably not going to contribute as much this year. We don't know if we love his ceiling. I get the frustration, but I also don't think it's the end of the world. There just has to be more coming.
Yeah, I just say
there, like, has to be more to the offseason than this.
Yeah, for me, my reaction is just to be determined, I guess. Like, I like the player and all that. I see the vision, sort of. But like you just like there just has to be more coming after this. It can't just be we took Devin Carter and now we're just gonna all right, we'll see what happens now. Game one.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be an issue for me not saying Devin George all show. I don't know why I got Devin George on the mind.
Just you well since apparently he lives in Sacramento and is a great dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Salute to Devin George.
Oh yeah, shout out Devin George.
Yeah. All right. What's next for the Kings? We'll talk about it. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. We're taking your calls next. If you do call in, it's just going to ring until we can pick it up. We don't have a call screener, so be patient. And then Kim English, who coached Devin Carter last year at Providence, he's going to be joining the show at 10:30. We'll talk to him about what kind of player the Kings are getting. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Vibes were up last night at Tom's Watch Bar.
They were.
And then the Kings made their pick.
Well, the thing is, too, like, yesterday at Tom's, it's like, all right, well, maybe they take Ron Holland if he falls or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that was, like, the loudest pop as far as, like, good or bad. Like, Ron Holland goes 5 to Detroit, I think it was. And everyone just lets out a groan, like, oh, like, that was the one. Like, if we had one, that was it.
That was the guy.
Yeah, and then Rob Dillingham goes, I think, 7 or 8. Like, there's a little bit more groans after that. Zach Edey went 9. Everyone's like,
cheers,
everyone brought the
dude.
Vibes back up.
Cheers.
Yeah. And then they took Devin Carter, and everyone's kind of like, all right.
I think the reaction was a collective, like, who?
Yeah.
Because if you're not, like, look.
Well, it's
if
just
the
guard
not,
thing, too, I think.
Yeah, and I think if you're not, if you weren't super tapped into this draft, and you just read mock drafts, you're looking at the Kings taking Ron Holland, Jacoby Walter, Tristan Da Silva. There's this like handful of names that Devin Carter wasn't one of them.
Well, yeah, I think even if they would have took Don Connect right there too, like oh yeah,
Don Connect
the ball. Like, I think Tom like plays like everyone would have cheered and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Just a player like, hey, this guy's been we've heard of this guy. Mm. The reason Devin Carter wasn't getting mocked to the Kings is because like he was going earlier than 13.
Yeah.
He was just going too soon. Mm. So, yeah, I think Devin Carter is going to be a fan favorite by like the end of Summer League. I think he's going to torch Summer League.
Yeah.
Assuming he plays in it.
Go hit up ESPN1320.com for your Summer League passes, by the way.
Yeah. Cal Classic.
Cal Classic.
We have 4 3-day passes available.
Yes, sir.
That you could win 4 3-day passes. Yeah. ESPN1320.com, July 6th and 7th, and then July 9th. We got 4 passes get you into every single day of the California Classic here at Golden 1 Center. I'm assuming Devin Carter will play.
I think.
I would have him play. And if he does, if he does play, then we will. You'll want to be in the building because it should be a ton of fun. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
I don't know who Don is, Kyle, but this is Fred Peebles.
Oh, Fred Peebles. Yeah. My bad. What's up?
Hey, so as soon as they made that pick, I've watched the guy. Great player, has a high motor, can play both sides of the ball. But I understand some of the trepidations that some of the fans have, right? Because there's expectations of certain slots being filled on the team for needs. But I'll say two things. One, watching all the pop that the Kings got for taking that pick, right, from around the league, it could be one of two things. One, this drives up, maybe he gets included. Maybe he's that extra piece that another team would take to get a Kuzma, a Levine, or whoever it is that they feel like they need to bring in, right? Because there's a lot of summer left to upgrade this team, right? And obviously the worry, like you said, is if when you go into training camp, this is the team, that's a problem.
Yep.
To have this many guards on the team, it's a problem and that you didn't address during the draft. So that's my thing from my angle is if you have a trade that's in place or almost there or you're working on something right now, I get it. But my worry would be that 2 months from now or a month from now, we still haven't seen any movement. So basically you took a player hoping that you could make a trade and not really having anything in place or not to say concrete, but that you're not working on a specific player. That's a big risk to take. And I trust Monty in it at this point, but it's going to be the fans are going to go nuts if a month and a half from now we're still sitting looking at the same team.
No doubt. And that's exactly where I'll be too. Appreciate you, Fred. Thanks for calling. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Your reactions to the Devin Carter pick. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up? Oh, Don's gone. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? This is Matt. I met you guys last night. Really good talking to you guys.
Salute. Shout out, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Everything, I kind of agree with a little bit what Fred was saying, but I do trust Monty. I think it's clear that Monty, he's been burning up the lines. He's trying to make moves.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like Kenny always says, you know, it takes two to tango. And, you know, sometimes the moves you don't make are the best moves. But with that said, I like Carter. As a longtime Kings fan, he kind of gives me like Francisco Garcia vibes, which are nice. But I do think something that D'Lo said yesterday got me thinking, because he was talking about maybe this team's not as far away as we think it is. Like maybe they don't need a Kuzma. Maybe they don't need an Ingram. Hmm. Maybe a quote-unquote lesser move is enough to put them where they need to be. What do you guys think about that?
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate you. And thanks for coming out to Tom's Watch Bar.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I think Monty McNair said there were here. In fact, you know what? Let's
hear from Monty right now.
Let's hear from Monty right now. This is on the interest in the number 13 pick, and then picking Devin Carter. This audio is via Matt George at ABC 10.
As always, lots of discussion around the pick. It's a lottery pick, you know, so there's always great interest in that. I think what ended up happening at the end of the day is we had a guy really high up on our board who I think many were predicting was going to be a top 10 pick that ended up there for us at 13. And when that happened, nothing else on our board beat that, and we're excited to select him.
He also said Monty McNair did, and again, shout out to ABC 10 for that audio, but he also said there were a lot of Devin Carters in this year's playoffs.
Well, yeah, you see kind of he's been comped to Derek White and stuff like that I've seen.
Yeah, I heard multiple different separate outlets.
I saw Caruso one yesterday.
Talk about Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
Like that type of point of attack defender who is capable enough to play on offense and maybe can be a very good offensive player. That's good to have on your team, man.
It's great to have on your team. Every team needs someone like that.
Yeah, and I know they need size, and I'm with that, and I'm 100%. And I think Matt, the last caller, made a good point, bringing up what D'Lo said. Like, maybe they're not that far away. Maybe Devin Carter can step in and make four plays that help them win games this year.
Well, yeah, maybe Devin Carter helps you in the games against Detroit or those bottom feeder teams that you just blew last year or whatever. Maybe, hey, Devin Carter can make his free throws or whatever. Little stuff like that. Like, just not exactly, but you know what I'm saying?
Maybe he insulates you more from a Malik Monk injury.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so many pros to this.
Yeah.
It just can't be it.
Going back, we'll go back to Fred's call real quick.
Yeah.
He says, like, he really hopes Monty has something like in play or just something like ready to go after. I think that's the same thing too. I don't know how much I like it if you made the Devin Carter pick and it's just, all right, now we got to hope we can trade one of these guards. Like, I think, I hope not something concrete, because obviously like it didn't happen or whatever. I hope Monty like has a basis, like, all right, like, this is the plan. This is what we go to next. This is who's going on or whatever.
Yeah, and maybe it is. Maybe that's right. Maybe it's not Kyle Kuzma. Maybe it's not Brandon Ingram. Maybe it's Torrey Craig who opted for free agency. Maybe it's Torrey Craig. And you bring him in, and there's your size and your defense, and now Keon Ellis, he can play the two and the three, and you have Devin Carter who can play, and you have Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, and all of a sudden you can kind of mix and match, and you have enough size to with Harrison Barnes, you have enough size to mix and match on the wings, and maybe you'll be fine, and all of a sudden you're winning 50, 51, 52 games. You're comfortably a playoff team. You get a couple of good matchups, and now you're in the Western Conference Finals, and you didn't do anything splashy. Splashy? Flashy? You didn't make a splash or do anything flashy.
I have a question.
Please.
Something in the chatty house, something battle rap, throws Bobby Portis's name in there. Do you think there's any way, like obviously you add players, picks or whatever, you could work around a Davion Mitchell for Bobby Portis deal?
Probably not.
No? I'm just throwing things out there.
Like, I don't know. Like, I never say never, but I don't know that they're that interested in moving Bobby Portis.
Yeah. Because Milwaukee does need to switch it up. Like, they're missing that Jrue Holiday type player or whatever. I'm not saying Davion Mitchell's going to, like, take that or whatever.
Sure.
But maybe he can help you out more than Pat Beverly did and all that. Bobby Portis will help here. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I love the idea.
Yeah.
I would be interested to know how willing Milwaukee is to move off of Bobby Portis.
Yeah, and like I said, you'd probably have to add more on the Kings side rather.
Yeah, there'd
Milwaukee
be a lot
side.
Of teams knocking down their door for him, I think. Let's fit one more caller in here. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Don.
Hey. Yeah, Don Senior. Excuse me.
Oh, Don Senior.
Oh, Don Senior.
So, yeah, you know, head scratcher adding the sixth guard. But again, I'm going to echo some of the sentiments, and in the back of my head, it's like, you know what? That just frees up one of the other four, right? Potential paid trade date. I can't say that I know who or what or why, but definitely bringing in that sixth guard is a head scratcher. And I'm hoping, you know, echoing some of the other callers and some of the thoughts I read last night online, it was got to be, you know, another move. You know, maybe not to move Devin Carter. I think he's going to be a stud. I think, you know, he fits right in just by his demeanor, the way he acts, how he elevates his game, the way he carries himself. I think he would be great on this squad, and it potentially opens up a couple of the other guards for trade bait. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm right there, man.
Yeah,
I think now any other guard is now on the table, depending on what player you're getting back.
Kevin Herter and Davion Mitchell for Bobby Portis. Are we in or are we out?
I'd be in on that. I think Milwaukee would not be.
Who threw that in the chat? Someone in the chat just threw that in there.
I think Milwaukee's not doing that.
Soren.
I think you'd have to attach like multiple picks to do that.
We're building, though.
We're here. I hope Monty's listening. And I hope you're going to keep listening, because we're going to have Devin Carter's college coach, Kim English, the head coach of men's basketball down at Providence. We will talk to him next. What kind of player are the Kings getting? What are the things Devin Carter is good at? What does he have to work on? We will hear from his head coach at Providence, Kim English, next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Devin Carter, your newest Sacramento King, taking number 13 overall last night in the first round of the draft. And joining us now is Carter's head coach last year with the Providence men's basketball team, Kim English. Coach, thank you so much for jumping on with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you making time. I know you're a busy guy. Let's just start here. What type of player are the Kings getting with Devin Carter?
Yeah, you're getting an ultra competitor. You're getting a highly effective playmaker. For himself, his teammates, with his speed, ability to get in the paint and transition, his ability to make open shots, ability to make plays off of closeouts, and an elite defender. And really, really excited to see him join you guys' group.
When he's out there game one, which parts of his game do you think will translate immediately?
Say it again?
When he's out there game one for the Kings playing, what parts of his game do you think will translate immediately out there as far as like his ability?
Yeah, all the ones I just mentioned. Think the way we play, we're 4-out, 1 in, 5-out, pretty consistently. So all the reads he's seen in college are going to be there. And, in a league with better players around him and more space to attack. All the things I said, his defense, his ability to create and attack and transition and make good decisions and pick and roll and reading long closeouts.
Would you say, as we talk with Kim English, head coach of the Providence men's basketball team, would you say you called him an elite defender. Would you say he's better on that end than he is offensively? Because, he averaged like 20 and 4 last year.
He led the Big East in scoring, one of the best scorers in the country at a pretty efficient clip. Shot 60% at the rim, 40% from 3 on 7 attempts a game. It's a kind of a cliche, but he's a two-way guard. He can score it, he can defend.
What's his personality like, Coach? Like, what kind of locker room presence does he have?
He's a great guy. People love being around him. He's really infectious. He's a hard worker, and he competes. Those two traits on the court usually translate to being a likable teammate off the court, and he is. Pretty much our whole staff made a trip down to New York last night to be there with him. We had a great gathering at one of our great supporters, Rich Santilli's house here in Rhode Island, and our entire team was there watching the draft. So he's a really likable guy.
Was he a leader for you guys? And if so, what type of leader was he?
Yeah, for sure. You're throwing the cliches at me. what type of leader? Yeah, he's a leader. He takes care of his teammates and he's focused on mission accomplished. I think those are the only two necessary traits of a leader. And he does those two things. He's a good teammate. He cares about his men, and he's mission focused.
What parts of his game do you think you'll need to improve on more, like coming into the NBA?
He just has to get better at everything. I can't really talk about any flaws. He has to get his ball handling improved. He has to, become a better free throw shooter. He just has to get better at everything, and that's something that hopefully never changes for him. It's a great mindset that we really preach. It's Kaizen. It's a Japanese word for continual growth. And we just want his all-around game to continue to improve.
Talking with Kim English, the head coach of the Providence men's basketball team. A lot of what we see, in watching Devin's, highlights and such, he's obviously on the ball. That's typically what highlight packages are. Is he able to play off the ball at all?
Yeah, he is. He's a great cutter. He's a great receiver in transition, getting outlet passes to attack, cutting off ball, the offensive rebounds. He is a good screener. The game is played with, five guys at a time. We spend a lot of time playing 3-on-3 in our practices, so you're getting just that many more reps being a part of the action, screening, passing, catching, decision-making. So, yes, he can play on and off ball.
I gotta ask you. You said we were throwing the kind of cliche questions at you, so I'll just try something different here. What did you think of his outfit last night? The no shirt with the sunglasses. I thought it was kind of nice.
Yeah, he can pull it off. If anyone can pull it off, it's Devin Carter. Devin is Devin, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, he's like a free spirit, like a maverick, and you know, you want to let him be that. He is different. You know, he's eccentric. He's different. He's wired different, and you know, that's the beauty of him. You know, that's the beauty of him is that he is an outside the box thinker. It's awesome to be around.
Talking with Kim English, head coach of the Providence men's basketball team. Hey, coach, I remember you in that 2012 Big 12 tournament, man. I was a huge fan of yours at Mizzou. You were the 44th overall pick in that 2012 draft. What was the draft process like for you?
Yeah, I had a ton of workouts. I actually worked out for SAC, one of my workouts. Sharif Abdul-Rahim was in the front office there, and I'm now coaching his son. In Providence. The draft experience was great for me going through it, a ton of workouts with a ton of teams. That was a long way away from the green room, but it was a memorable night. Talked to Devin about forgetting about last night quickly, you know, after his introductory press conference, and, you know, it's time to get to work because he's back on the ground level. You know, he's back at ground zero, having to prove himself in a brand new league, the best league in the world, the best sports league in the world, and I'm really excited for him.
Coach, you've been super generous with your time. We appreciate you a ton, and best of luck to you moving forward and continued success in your coaching career, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
It's Kim English, head coach over at Providence men's basketball.
Sounds like a Monty McNair guy.
It does. Like, he sounds like...
He'll contribute game well.
Yes. Yes. One of the words he brought up a lot was competitor.
Yeah.
Doing what it takes to win. In fact, here, it kind of matches last night. Here's what Devin Carter said in his introductory press conference last night. This audio is, again, via ABC 10.
Win-now player. You know, just being able to be a mature guy. Handle yourself well on and off the court. Somebody who's going to do all the dirty work, you know, get the rebounds, dive on the floor for loose balls, take charges, guard the opposing guard's best player, the other team's best player on the guard position. So, you know, just somebody who's going to do it all, whatever it takes to win.
I'm in, dude.
Hey, he's a guy. He's talking about that.
And when his coach is like, yeah, hey, he's a leader. He takes care of his teammates. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. I don't know why. Outside of the fact that he's not 6'6", 6'7", I don't know if there's not to like.
It's like you said earlier. It's not him that people are maybe frustrated with. Or I don't even know if that's the right word. It's not him. It's just more so, all right, we got all these guards on the roster now. Like, well, how are we going to fix this?
Yeah, man.
Like, what's next?
Yeah.
Is it Cam Johnson? Is it Kuzma? Is it Torrey Craig or whoever we've been throwing out? Like, who is it?
There just has to be a wing. And it can't be. So Sacramento picks number 45 tonight. Uh-huh. If they're going to use that pick, at least please take a wing. It's going to be a flyer.
It's a second round pick. Take someone to develop. It's a second round pick. Go get the wing somewhere else.
No, but also go get a wing elsewhere. But so help me, I will stand in front of the Devin Carter pick.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm all in on the Devin Carter idea. I will not stand in front of a guard at 45. I will not.
Well,
I don't care if they're developing.
No one's going to trip over a second round pick, really, though. Like, this guy would be playing in Stockton and all that.
No doubt. He was going to play in Stockton.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it is. You're hoping if a second round pick can contribute a little, you're winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just mean from the optic standpoint.
If it's Bronny James, we'll all be kind of hyped.
Would we?
I don't know.
No, it just if it's a guard at 45, then I will be like, bro, what are we doing?
I get that.
What's going on here? Where is it they take a wing? It might be a developmental wing. They'd probably play in Stockton, but at least there's a younger Kessler Edwards over there now, trying to figure stuff out, and maybe they can contribute down the road. We talk about Colby Jones in that vein a lot. Or yeah, you see the vision with Colby Jones, but he didn't contribute a ton last year, but he played in Stockton. He did all this great. That's probably what you're hoping for out of the 45th pick.
Yeah.
But just so help me. Make him 6'7 or taller.
This guard, though, Twitter will be on fire.
That's all I care about. Yeah, and I want to pick back up on the idea of, because I think that's like what's that next move for Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't decide if last night set a new bar where any move for a wing will now be celebrated, or does it have to be a super high level Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma type of wing?
It doesn't have to be super high level, but it just can't. I don't think it could just be some role player, because you do need another shot creator. You do need that.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Kuzma type,
though, I think.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And the thing I'd be interested to know, because we saw all this smoke around Kuzma going into that 13th pick.
Uh-huh.
Kings are having conversations. And Monty McNair even said they had a ton of interest in the 13th pick. And they shopped it around and they decided that Devin Carter was better than whatever was available with that pick. And that, I don't want to say concerns me, but it makes me wonder, maybe they don't think that highly of Kyle Kuzma. And or maybe, on the other hand, and again, this is where I would love to know, maybe the Wizards were like, yeah, we need 13, and then we also need Keegan Murray, which is just going to be a non-starter.
Uh-huh.
So that's where, if you're the Kings and you're going, okay, the only move we can make is 13 and Keegan Murray, or we don't think Cam Johnson's worth the 13th pick straight across, and that's what the Nets want, so we're just going to take Devin Carter because he can contribute, and then we'll try and figure everything else out. I don't hate that, but again, this is something Matt George brought this up on Twitter, and I think it's a great point. At some point, results matter. And okay, yes, it does take two to tango. I get it.
It takes two to tango for all the 29 other GMs too, though.
Right. And I get that. Yeah, you know what? They were in talks about Kuzma and Cam Johnson. And we didn't see anything about Dorian Finney-Smith, but maybe they called about Dorian Finney-Smith. And maybe they were on the horn about Brandon Ingram, and we know they were in on Alex Caruso. And that's great. They were in on Alex Caruso, and they wound up taking a player who I think can contribute the same way Alex Caruso does. So, okay, that's good. It's the cheaper, younger, healthier. That's cool. But at some point, you can't keep relying on, oh, hey, tried. Maybe tried. Yeah, Harrison Barnes is going to start at the 4. And Keegan Murray is going to start at the 3, and our backup 3 is going to be Kevin Huerter, because we just couldn't really make a deal happen. Well, sorry, that's not going to help you win.
Yeah, and honestly, that kind of time for trying deals and just hasn't worked out. That's kind of run its course already.
Yeah.
At this point, this is the year where it's all right, make it happen now.
Mm-hmm.
It does take two to tango. Like I said, it takes two to tango for the GM in Charlotte. It takes two to tango for everyone else.
And the reason I circle back to Monty McNair with this.
Mm-hmm.
Is, again, this is separate from the Devin Carter thing. We're in on Devin Carter. I am. But
I like Devin Carter as well. Just want that out there.
All right, there we go. We're both in on Devin Carter, official position of the Insiders. Go for it. Go on. I also know James is in on Devin Carter. James Hamm, by the way, I think he's going to jump in around 11:30 today live from Cabo to give his thoughts on the pick. But I'm in on Devin Carter. I lost my train of thought because I hit the applause button.
Well, we're going to Monty McNair. It's not
about
Devin Carter.
Thank you. The thing is, okay, if the Kings couldn't work out a deal for Kyle Kuzma because the Wizards said, hey, we're going to need another first. And the Kings went, well, we got this first tied up and we can maybe give you a 27, but it might have to be a 28. And the Wizards were like, no, we can't do that. That is on Monty McNair now.
Yep. It's bad asset management.
Right, because they traded this protected first for Kevin Huerter, and they missed the playoffs this year, and so that's why their first didn't convey, and that's why it could be tied up next year or the year after that. And so that's where, for me, that's why this turns to Monty McNair, because it's like, yo, you're the one that got yourself here. You're the one that got yourself in this spot. You've got to get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And to this point, so somebody last night said to me on Twitter, they said, what has Monty McNair ever done that makes you think that there's another move happening? And that's a fair question, but yeah. I think you can look at the Domantas Sabonis trade,
mm-hmm.
and I think you can look at the fact that they're in a different position now than they've ever been under Monty McNair.
Yeah, like to that question that person asked you on Twitter, mm-hmm. it's like they're a much better team now than they were before Monty McNair was even here or anything like that. Like he's made moves in a matter of like now we're just waiting for one more.
Yeah, well, and I'll go back to last offseason. I didn't think last offseason was a disaster. I thought they for the most part, did the right thing. I was wrong about Chris Duarte. I thought that was a great pickup. I was all in on the Chris Duarte thing. It didn't work out. But you see the vision. You see what they were trying to do. It just didn't work. And then the trade deadline, I'm not sure that there was a substantial move for them to make that would have really helped. James and I have tried to reconstruct like the PJ Washington deal, and you couldn't really with the assets the Kings had available. So I just don't, I don't think to this point he's been gun shy or has decided not to pull the trigger on any major deals. And you can go to Siakam. But again, you can follow the logic there. But all of that logic got to this offseason where you have to act now.
Yeah, it's like he's been active and all that. And as harsh as it might sound, he just hasn't gotten the job done yet.
Yeah, and that's, again, like I said, I followed it to this point.
Yeah.
But I followed it last offseason and that last trade deadline. And when they said no on Siakam, it's like, you know what? If they really wanted Malik Monk or Keegan Murray and you're trading one of those two guys to maybe not have Siakam resign, I get it.
Yeah, the logic is you can understand that.
Right. If you don't think he's going to get you to a title this year, I follow it. I'm there. But that came with the caveat of this offseason in June and July, there has to be movement. There has to be something. So that's where my thought process comes in, where I say with the Kings, okay, I like the Devin Carter pick, but there's got to be more.
Yeah, it's like Devin Carter, like I said, I'm to be determined on my reaction. Like I could love that pick game one if whatever, like you got more wings in here or whatever. But it's like you said, you have to do something. It just doesn't work this way at all.
Mm-mm. No.
But like now, what are your assets though?
That I don't know.
Like, are we just banking on Kevin Huerter being the 3-point shooter he is? Like, maybe that's still got value around the league. I think it does, but I'm not sure how much.
Well, I think there's value with Huerter. I think there's value with Davion, but. Chris Duarte is still young enough as far as like his experience in the league. He's not necessarily a young player anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's enough of a upside with him that a team would be interested in him, especially on an expiring contract. Like they have things that they can use to make deals. It's just because of the way their picks are tied up, they can't just go, oh yeah, hey, here's these next three picks. But I do think that they're going to turn over every rock looking for an answer.
You trust Monty McNair to get it done? You trust by game one, like the Kings, like, all right, like it worked out. Like we see what they need to do and all that, but do you trust that it's going to get done?
Man. Yeah, for now.
Questions on Thursday.
For now. Huh? Yeah, no, for now I do. Because you listen to him talk, and here, this is what Monty McNair said about their team building last night. This audio is courtesy of ABC10, and again, this is him talking about adding another guard. Here's what Monty McNair said, and then I'll explain why I trust him moving forward.
No, we understand the importance of roster balance, not just across positions, but skill sets. You know, we're at the beginning of the offseason where we'll be able to continue to shape the roster. But as I've continually said in the draft is not about right now. The draft is about adding somebody to our team who can be here for a long time. And we try to draft the best player available. And, you know, we look for versatile guys. I mean, Devin Carter just checks all the boxes. If you watch the playoffs this year, there are a lot of Devin Carters out there. I'll put it that way. And so we try to find tough, physical guys who can play on both ends, make a shot, score the ball, switch, guard guys, rebound. I mean, guy like that we couldn't pass up. So you know, we understand the rest of the roster and what we'll have to do there, but tonight was about that.
I think my concern is the type of player. Here's I trust Monty McNair to add another wing or two. What I don't trust is that he doesn't look at Kessler Edwards and go, oh, that's the level of player. Like, yeah, just bring in anybody who's 6'8". Yeah, the 45th pick, yeah, that guy, we're going to have him at the end of the bench this year.
Yeah.
And that'll be the wing. We're going to have enough switchability and shot creation and playmaking at the guard position, and Keon Ellis can play some three, And we think Devin Carter can guard 1 through 3 on some nights. And we know De'Aaron Fox is one of the best defensive guards in the league. And we think he can guard 1 through 3 on some nights. So there's going to be plenty here. We just need to get bigger bodies to add to him. And that is what I don't trust. I don't trust that he looks at their wing spot and goes, yeah, Torrey Craig for sure.
That feels like an issue.
We're all just talking
hypotheticals too. We don't know what Monty thinks or whatever. But you need something of substance there. It's not just a matter of, all right, we got these two guys, our wing spots filled.
Yeah, and that's, so we've talked so much about Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram or whatever, but it doesn't even, I think that maybe that's aiming too high. Maybe the Kings don't believe, let's stick on Kuzma here for a second, because I don't, the Brandon Ingram thing would have to be a three-way trade. There's a bunch of stuff that would have to happen. So let's leave Brandon Ingram off the table for a minute. Let's just do Kyle Kuzma. If the Kings believe Kyle Kuzma is a B-minus level player.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that they do, but let's say they go, that's a B-minus player. And Washington's asking for the moon like he's an A player. I get why the Kings wouldn't do that. But at the same time, we talked about this yesterday with Mikal Bridges and the Knicks overpaying for Mikal Bridges. At the same time, it might be time to just pull the trigger on that deal. And maybe you're going to have to eat one a little bit and go, this is an overpay, but we think this guy can really help our team, instead of going and saying, yeah, hey, we're just going to bring back Kessler Edwards and hope that he develops. Or we're going to find Jalen McDaniels. We're going to get him for a couple of second round picks from the Raptors and hope he develops. At some point, like, you need a player that you know can create a shot, can shoot a three, can go get a rebound, do literally anything. And maybe Kyle Kuzma, like I said, is a B-minus player to them, but hey, that's better than what you got right now. And that's better than the D-minus player you're trying to bring in.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong necessarily with overpaying too if it's the guy that you think is going to take you to the next level, or at least help you get there.
Like, sure.
If you're trading for whoever, Kuzma, Ingram, Cam Johnson, or whoever, if you have to overpay a bit because you know it's going to get you to the second round, you know it's going to make you a top six team and all, you know it's going to make De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis like just elevate even more. Yes, you overpay.
So this is something that James talks about a lot. James Hamm on assignment, by the way. He'll be back next week. And he's going to join the show, I think, around 11:30. But he talks a lot about it's got to be the right move and it's got to be the right timing. And to me, this is the timing. It's right now. You have teams like the Spurs, who I think they made their move last night. We'll talk about the moves they made coming up. But I think they made their move to keep some money clear so they can add a legit player alongside Victor Wembanyama. You hear about the Rockets, who are stockpiling assets to go get a big-time player. Like the Kings, if they just kind of stand pat and it's like, yeah, Devin Carter helps, he makes them better. But if they're not going out there and overpaying for Cam Johnson, who I believe would be an upgrade, or Dorian Finney-Smith, who gives them better depth, or Kyle Kuzma, who is an upgrade at the starter spot, if you're not willing to overpay for those guys now, it's like, then when? And who? Because if you want better than that, if you're trying to get better than Kyle Kuzma, then it's going to be a Mikal Bridges level trade where you're doing 5 picks and a player.
I mean, at that point, if it's just a deal's not happening this offseason, then I think everyone just needs to shift their expectations then. As far as all right, so then it's just a slow build at this point. Like, they're waiting on Keegan to develop, and then once he's developed, it's all right, him, Fox, and Sabonis are ready to go. But
that's fine. But the problem for me is down the stretch last year, you just kind of looked at their rotation, and Anthony Slater said this on our show. They just looked thin.
Yeah.
Not bulky, like thin. They were running 8-man rotations for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. It's because they didn't have enough dudes.
Mm.
And I just think you need to go get more people who can contribute, and whether that's Cam Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith or Kyle Kuzma or whoever, if you have to overpay a little bit, if it's a little bit more than what you're wanting to pay, then I think so be it, because that at least makes you better now. While all these other teams around you are getting better, Oklahoma City is going to be there. Minnesota is going to be up there. Dallas is going to be up there. Denver is going to be up.
Golden State's trying to retool right now.
Golden State is turning over every rock to try and find an improvement for their roster. Like, that to me is where it's like, yo, if the timing's not now, I don't know that it's ever going to be.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at too.
So, all right. We got to take a break. We'll continue talking about this and some other moves that happened in the West last night. We'll have those for you as well. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're actually the producers.
That's facts.
James Hamm and myself are the Insiders, but Jesse and I are the producers. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.